Okay. Let me first basically start the beginning here. On May 26th of 1997, at 4:24 a.m., a 23-year-old Tamika Means was murdered on East Delavan and Chelsea Place here in the city of Buffalo while she was sitting in her boyfriend's car. the front seat passenger of that car saw the shooter. A composite sketch of the shooter was done, and on June 26th of 1997, an aunt of the victim said that the composite sketch looked like an individual by the name of Corey Epps. On July 30th, 1997, Corey Epps volunteered to appear in a lineup, saying that he had nothing to hide, he did not do it. He appeared in a lineup, and the front seat passenger picked him out of the lineup. In August of 1997, Corey Epps was indicted for second-degree murder. The trial started on April 20th, 1998, and the trial was concluded on April 24th of 1998, and the jury came back with a guilty verdict on the homicide charge. At trial, Corey Epps' main defense was it was not him, and he had an alibi. He produced a receipt from Perkins Restaurant at the time that roughly the time that the murder took place, and said that he was not there. He was at Perkins Restaurant with his wife. the jury, in any event, found him guilty. 4 days after the guilty verdict, an anonymous letter was sent to the court and the then defense lawyer produced. The anonymous letter stated that someone else was responsible for the murder of Tamika Means. A motion was made to hold off on the sentencing and to allow this evidence to come forward and perhaps have a new trial. The judge denied that motion due to the fact that it was an anonymous letter and no one was willing to sign the letter. On June 10th of 1998, Corey Epps was sentenced to 25 years to life. About 2 years later, on July 7th of 2000, Corey Epps' new attorneys filed a motion with our office and the court, saying that there was newly discovered evidence. The newly discovered evidence was the individual who wrote the anonymous letter now came forward with an affidavit and prepared a sworn affidavit saying that Corey Epps was not the individual who committed the homicide, that another individual did it. In addition to the affidavit was an affidavit also from a jailhouse informant who was willing to testify that another individual admitted to him that he committed the murder and not Corey Epps. In addition to that, a third piece of evidence came forward back in 2000. The front seat passenger, who was the main eyewitness at trial, did an affidavit stating that the other person of interest looked very similar to Corey Epps. To be fair, she did not change her testimony, though. She still maintained that it was Corey Epps, but at least she admitted that the other individual who is now being considered for this looked very similar to Corey Epps. That motion was denied, and Mr. Epps remain in jail. Now we fast forward now 17 years to this February. This February, on February 21st, 2017, another motion was presented to this office and to the court, saying that there is additional newly discovered evidence regarding this case. What my office did at that time was we conducted a thorough investigation of this matter. We pulled out the old file. We had my two people from my appeals bureau. I had my senior chief investigator and another investigator in my office who happened to be the homicide detective at the time, back in 1997, who now works in my office. And they did a thorough reexamination of this case. They went out and spoke to and interviewed numerous witnesses. And after a thorough investigation, I consented to having a hearing. I formally opposed the motion on paper, but I consented to have a hearing. Basically, when I'm presented with these type of motions here, I have three choices. I can either grant the request outright based upon the paper and allow Mr. Epps to go free. That's option number one. Option number two is I can oppose the papers and oppose the hearing. That's option number two. Option number three is I can oppose it on the papers but consent to the hearing, which is what I did. Because I wanted to conduct a hearing and basically make up my mind after the hearing was held. Yesterday, on November 30th of 2017, the hearing was conducted. It was a sealed hearing. So I am precluded by order of the judge and the rules from giving you any information as to what occurred at the hearing with respect to the new witness that came forward. And the new witness is a different witness. I can tell you this. The new witness is a different witness than the individual who wrote the anonymous letter back in 1998 and who then came forward with the affidavit back then as well. But the information that the new witness provided clearly showed that someone else is potentially responsible for his murder. That in conjunction with the old evidence that I just laid out for you, the newly discovered evidence I got yesterday and was formulated based upon the February motion papers, and the old evidence that was already with us before, those two pieces together led me to the conclusion that Corey Epps, that there is not enough evidence to believe that Corey Epps is guilty of this murder beyond a reasonable doubt. And the fact that I no longer believe that Corey Epps, that there's enough evidence to show that he is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, I consented to the defense motion papers. And I consented to not only vacate the judgment that was issued back in 1998 with his jury verdict, but I also consented to dismiss the indictment against Corey Epps. And Mr. Epps, after having served almost 20 years in jail, is now a free man today. Any questions?
His defense mentioned that the tactics used to convict him back in the 90s, many of those would not be used today. Can you comment on that, or do you agree with that statement?
Well, you know, I'm not going to agree with that. Here's my comment on that. The attorneys in this office who prosecuted this case back in 1997 are some of the finest attorneys that I know. There was nothing done improper back in 1997. They had an eyewitness. They had, and they still to this day have that eyewitness. That I mean, again, to be fair here, that eyewitness has not changed her testimony. We spoke to her this year. She maintains that the person that she identified is Corey Epps. However, though, I can tell you this. While I can't show you the photograph of the individual who we believe is responsible for this, the photograph of him and Corey Epps are eerily similar, like twins similar. And again, just so you know, the individual who we now believe responsible is in jail on another homicide for 25 to life. The eyewitness back in 1997, when she gave a physical description of the shooter, she gave, you know, the size, the weight, the height, what they were wearing, et cetera, but she also made a specific comment regarding bumps, acne on the side of his face. And Corey Epps does not have any bumps on the side of his face. The individual who we believe is responsible has bumps on the side of his face. So again, I want to clarify here that there was no improper conduct done by the prosecutor at all. They had an eyewitness who was literally in the car sitting next to in the passenger seat the girl who was murdered in the driver's seat. So they went forward with the evidence that they got, that they had, and a jury came back and found him guilty.
Is that individual going to be tried for this crime? Can you give us the name of that individual?
No, I can't give the name of that individual. That's under further review. Like I said, he's already serving 25 to life on another murder. The reason why this was sealed is because the individual who came forward is scared. And I'm going to do whatever I can to protect that individual. So whether or not we go forward with a further trial, or whether or not I have enough evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to prosecute the individual who I believe is responsible. Again, I can believe it all I want, okay? I mean, there's a difference between me believing it and me proving it beyond a reasonable doubt.
Like his alibi in terms of being at a Perkins, having the receipt, he was with his wife, seems like a solid one. Can you comment on why that may have been?
Well, it was a cash receipt. It wasn't a credit card, so it wasn't like he had a number on the bottom of the credit card that shows, you know, I got my credit card, you know, we see John Flynn, you know, number, whatever. It was a cash receipt, and, just playing devil's advocate here, if you were at Perkins last night, okay, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you and I were buddies, you could have gave me your receipt. There's no way to prove that was actually my, I mean, I had it in my possession, okay, but it doesn't mean that I got it generated from Perkins. You could have gave it to me. And from what I understand, back 20 years ago, they interviewed all the waiters and waitresses at Perkins at the time, and none of them could remember anything. You know, there was a lot of people in the restaurant that night, you know, it was everyone coming for breakfast. I can't remember who came, you know, so no one had any real information 20 years ago, the waiters and waitresses, on whether or not he was there or not.
And so then his wife wasn't considered credible because of what you just described?
Obviously. I mean, his wife is his wife, you know.
John, you mentioned during the original investigation there was a sketch that was drawn of Epps. Is that still something that's being used today, sketches?
Very rarely. I mean, they are, but I mean, now we have, now there's so much video around that, there's normally video. But in the case that there's no video available, there are sketches made. Yeah, I mean, this morning's a good example. From my understanding, the 15-year-old at the Florida hearing, someone was doing a sketch of that person. So yeah, sketches are done today, but in our 20 years later with our technology, it's not used as often.
So is it still, I guess, in the courtroom, is it still a viable tool in the investigation?
Well, they really didn't need the sketch 20 years ago because they had the lineup now. Oh. Because they could remember, the sketch got disseminated to the community. The aunt of the victim said, hey, that looks like someone I know. And then Corey Epps, he volunteered to appear in the lineup, saying, "Yeah, I didn't do anything wrong. I'll appear in the lineup," and unfortunately, he was picked out of the lineup.
Does this, in your head, call into question in any way the use of lineups as a credible way to identify?
No, it doesn't. Lineups are good. I mean, lineups are useful. They're a useful tool to law enforcement. This is just a case where there are a lot of little pieces of information that obviously came to light over the course of the past 20 years. In the first few years, there were just a number of pieces of information, but it just wasn't enough to take it over the top, I don't think. What we got in February and what we heard in the courtroom yesterday, that was enough to take it over the top.
You know, this is hard for people to hear because he's been incarcerated for 20 years.
It's awful.
It's hard for the public to hear. And it's hard for him. What message would you have for him and his family today?
Well, you know, I'll tell you how I can answer that. I can answer that by what I felt last night, okay? I knew what my decision was going to be last night, at about 5 or 6 o'clock last night. Due to the fact that this was sealed, the mother of the victim hadn't been notified, okay? Because we couldn't notify her and let her know what was going on because it was a sealed proceeding. At 5 o'clock last night, I told the judge, let me also say this too. Judge Barnese handled this proceeding, okay? Judge Barnese did a fantastic job here. He conducted a thorough hearing. He was open to all the evidence. He didn't get a chance to rule because I consented ahead of time, before he got a chance to officially rule. But I could tell that he was sympathetic with the proceedings and with Mr. Epps. There was some discussion last night, and Judge Barnese and I agreed that, how do we let him sit in jail another night? And I said to the judge, Judge, we have to notify the mother here of Tamika Means. I can't let Mrs. Means find out about this on the TV cameras here. I mean, I it was her daughter who was murdered 20 years ago. I owe it to her to talk to her and let her know what's going on here before she hears about it in the media. So I sent a investigator and my victim witness advocate out to her, the last address we had last night, and they sat in front of her house for hours last night waiting for her to come home, and they couldn't get a hold of her. They finally got a hold of her this morning, we talked to her and let her know what was going on here before this morning. But how do you think that makes me feel when I'm at home in bed last night watching a football game, knowing that he's spending an extra night in jail because of this? Very difficult.
How did she react?
She's at a point now where, her daughter's never coming back. She's lived with this for the past 20 years, and she knows that no matter what happens here, her daughter's never coming back. So, she accepted. She doesn't want to see anyone in jail who didn't do this. She accepted, at least conveyed to our people that she understood, and that. But it doesn't change the fact that her daughter's never coming home.
Were
Were you able to temper that by telling her that you have somebody, a real suspect, or was that something you weren't able
Oh, yeah, no, I just couldn't tell her the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, we couldn't tell her, just like you are. I told her exactly what I'm telling you. I couldn't tell her the name. I couldn't tell her the name of the witness who came forward, what the witness said, et cetera, et cetera. All I could say to her was basically what I said to you, is that that you know we have credible information now. Again, in conjunction with the past information that Corey Epps is not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
So that had to make it a little easier.
Yes.
Right? You guys and your guys too. At least it was kind of a good news.
Yeah.
Good news.
Yeah.
Bad news.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Exactly.
She knows another person's under investigation.
Yes. Yes, and I believe they told her that I think she also knows that there are persons in jail too. I assume they told her that.
What else, that guy?
Anything else?
I know this case today is obviously about Epps, but any reason why the suspect who you believe actually did this targeted Ms. Means? Did he know her?
I can't tell you that, because if I tell you that, that'll lead to who the person is. What I don't want to, I just don't want to give any information out that would even lead to who that person is. So I'm sorry, I can't tell you that.
I have one more question then on that. Did Mr. Epps have ties to Ms. Means?
No. No, the eyewitness, who's in a car with Miss Means, stated that she did not know who Mr. Epps was per se, but that she had seen him out and about on the east side. She had seen him at different clubs and stuff in the past, not that night, but in the past. So she knew who he was tangentially, the witness.
But Ms. Means and Mr. Epps didn't have any.
No indication. Yeah, that no.
John, is it fair to say that, without going into details, the victim was targeted? It wasn't just a random shooter going out shooting people in cars. Was there some kind of reason that you can't discuss why he was targeted, or could another person have been targeted?
Well, the last part there, I definitely can't answer because I have information regarding that, okay? But I can't comment on that specific last part because that would perhaps lead to the individual who's now in my sights. But I can tell you this. I can tell you what happened originally, all right, back in 97. The evidence showed that there was some type of road rage incident, okay? That the allegations, the facts came out that there were two cars involved, and Miss Means' car and then the car of the shooter, and there was some type of road rage incident involved. This was a theory put forward at trial. And then the shooter got out of the car and shot Miss Means.
Just before the shooting, or
before? Incident? Yes. Yeah. Before the shooting. Before the shooting. I'm not sure how long before. I think I remember reading the file that someone cut someone off at some point, and then they went a few blocks up. So it was a few blocks up further from my recollection of going through the file. And then at the intersection of East Elvin and Chelsea is where the shooter got out of the car and ended up shooting Miss Means.
Is there a timeline for the proceedings to begin with the new suspect?
No. I'm in no hurry there because he's in jail. No.
You guys seem pretty sure that it's him, that you got the right guy then, right?
I firmly believe it. Yeah, I firmly believe it. Now, again, whether or not I can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt in a courtroom is a whole other story. Whether or not I can prove it beyond a reasonable doubt without the new witness, that'd be problematic.
Okay. just the time itself in between the event and now is
absolutely
difficult.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It's 20 years is a long time, and that definitely plays a role in this, too.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.